Professor? Can I come in? Oh, hi. You told me to come in today? Yes, I sent you that email because I'm embarrassed. I really need this extra credit, so I need an A in this class. I'm in this scholarship program and I really can't afford to lose it. And I realized that I didn't do that great in your last exam. But you told me that you can help me with that. Okay, so you're just doing some recordings for a book. Oh, okay, so I just had to read? Oh, alright. So I just sit on this chair, on this cushion, and I read. You sure that's it? Oh, but why is it moving? Okay, but I just have to read one chapter. Oh, okay. Okay. I can do this. Dream Psychology by Professor Dr. Sigmund Freud. Chapter 1. Dreams have meaning. In what we may term pre-scientific days, people were in no uncertainty about the interpretation of dreams. When they were recalled after awakening, they were regarded as either the friendly or hostile manifestation of some higher powers, demonical and divine. With the rise of scientific thought, the whole of this expressive mythology was transferred to psychology. Today, there is but a small minority among educated persons who doubt the dream that the dream is the dreamer's own psychical act. But since the downfall of the mythological hypothesis, an interpretation of the dream has been wanting. The conditions of its origins, its relationship to our physical life when we are awake, its independence of disturbances which, during the state of sleep, seem to compel notice, its many peculiarities repugnant to our waking thought, the incongruence between its images and the feelings they engender, the dreams of evanescence, the way in which in non-awakening our thoughts thrust aside as something bizarre, and our reminiscences mutilating or rejecting it. All these and many other problems have for many hundred years demanded answers which up till now could never have been satisfactory. Before all, there is the question as to the meaning of the dream. A question which is in itself double-sided. There is, firstly, the psychical significance of the dream, its position with regard to the psychical processes as to possible biological function. Secondly, has the dream a meaning? Can sense be made of each single dream as of other mental synthesis? That's the question? Okay, I'll keep reading. Three tendencies can be observed in the estimation of dreams. Many philosophers have given currency to one of these tendencies. One, which at the same time preserves something of the dream's former overvaluation. The foundation of dream life is for them a peculiar state of psychic activity, which they even celebrate as elevation to some higher state. Schubert, for instance, claims the dream is the liberation of the spirit from the pressure of external nature, a detachment of the soul from the fetters of matter. Not all go so far as this, but many maintain that the dream have their origin in a real spiritual expectations and are outward manifestation of spiritual powers. For these three movements have been hampered during the day. A large number of observers acknowledge that dream is capable of extraordinary achievements at any rate in certain fields. It doesn't help that you're touching yourself. Please stop. In striking contradiction with this, the majority of medical writers hardly admit that the dream is a psychical phenomenon at all. According to them, dreams are provoked and initiated exclusively by stimuli proceeding from the sense or the body, which either reach the sleeper from without or are accidental disturbances in of his internal organs. Ah, oh, your dick is so big. Please stop rubbing it. The dream has no greater claim to meaning and importance than the sound called forth by the 10 fingers of a person quite unacquainted with music running his fingers over the keys of an instrument. The dream is to be regarded as a physical process, always useless, frequently morbid. All the peculiarities of dream life are explicable as the incoherent effort due to some physiological stimulus of certain organs or of the cortical elements of the brain otherwise asleep. Oh no, please don't bring it here, please. I have 17 pages left, stop, please. But slightly affected by scientific opinion and in trouble as to the origin of dreams, the popular view holds firmly to the belief that the dreams really have got a meaning in some way. They do foretell the future, well, the meaning can be unraveled in some way or other form of its bizarre and enigmatical content. I can do this. The reading of dreams consists in replacing the events of the dream as so far as remembered by other events. This is done either scene by scene according to some rigid key, or the dream as a whole is is replaced by something else, which is a symbol. Serious-minded persons laugh at these efforts. Dreams are but seafoam. One day, I discovered to my amazement that the popular view grounded in superstition. Please don't touch me. And not the medical one comes nearer to the truth about dreams. I arrived at new conclusions about dreams by the use of new method of psychological investigation, one which had rendered me good service in the investigation of phobias, obsessions, illusions, and the like, and which, under the name psychoanalysis, had found acceptance by a whole school of investigators. No, please stop ripping your cock on my face. The manifold analogies of dream life, with the most diverse conditions of psychical disease in the waking state, have been rightly insisted upon by a number of medical observers. It seemed, therefore, a priori helpful to apply to the interpretation of dreams methods of investigation, which have been tested in psychopathological process sessions, and those peculiar sensations of haunting dread remain as strange to normal consciousness as do dreams to our waking consciousness. Their origin is an unknown unconsciousness to consciousness as is that of dreams. Please. It was practical ends that impelled us in these diseases to fathom their origin and formation. Experience has shown us that a cure and a consequent mastery of the obsessing ideas would result. When once those thoughts, the connecting links between the morbid ideas and the rest of psychical content, were revealed, which were veiled from consciousness. So big, I want to suck it. The procedure I employed for the interpretation of dreams thus arose from psychotherapy. Okay, I'll keep reading. I need this. This procedure is readily described, although its practice demands instruction and experience, suppose the patient. Is suffering from the intense morbid dread. He is requested to direct his attention to the idea in question without, however, as he has so frequently done, meditating upon it. Oh, please. Take my clothes off, please. I promise I'll just read it, please. Every impression about it. Without any exception, which occurs to him should be imparted to the doctor. The statement which will be perhaps then made that he cannot concentrate his attention upon anything at all. Is to be countered by assuring him almost Possibly that such a blank state of mind is utterly impossible. Possible. As a matter of fact, a great number of impressions will soon occur, which others will associate themselves. I don't think I can take it anymore. Opinion that they have no meaning or an important. It will be once notice that it is self-criticism which prevented the patient from imparting the ideas which had indeed already excluded from the consciousness. If the patient can be induced to abandon the self-criticism and to pursue the trains of thought which are yielded by concentrating at the intention, most significant matter will be obtained. Please let me come. No. Matter which will be presentingly seen to be clearly linked to the morbid idea. Can I come back tomorrow and finish?